Blog Talk Radio.
And it's Ken Kratzer for Sons of the American Legion Radio, and we have a special edition today. We're going to take a call from Bagram Air Base in Afghanistan from a good friend of ours serving there, Major General John C. Thompson III, who is a commanding officer of the 1st Cavalry Division. They've been in Afghanistan since the first week of September, and they are serving our country in incredibly great fashion. So we'll hear a little bit about the experience from the general. And live helping me today is our good friend Lieutenant Colonel retired Ryan Remley, calling in from Harker Heights, Texas, not far from Fort Hood. Ryan, how are you today?
Ken, I'm great. Thanks for affording me the opportunity to join you this morning and the chance to both speak with and hear General Thompson's remarks. I'm really excited to hear his comments on how the mission over there is going for the men and women of the 1st Cavalry Division.
Absolutely. Now, maybe I know you've served extensively in different groups. We met, obviously, when you were at Providence College as an assistant professor of military science, and then later we worked closely when you were the professor of military science at the University of Scranton. Maybe tell our audience a little bit about what is a cavalry division. That was one thing I had to ask a few people. I think I asked you difference between that and a standard infantry division.
Sure. A lot of it has to do with how the division is formed in terms of their combat brigades and the makeup. I know people in this day and age, they'll hear cavalry division and they hearken back to the Army's frontier days and think of horses and stuff like that. But basically, the 1st Cavalry Division is the Army's only cavalry division, and it's comprised of three maneuver brigades, which are a mix of both armor and mechanized infantry. And then they have their air cav brigade, which is a mix of combat, attack, aviation assets, as well as just standard aviation assets for reconnaissance mission and general transport and things of that nature. And then they have their division artillery, which supports the maneuver brigades, and then a support brigade. So it's a pretty robust organization. And, I don't want to steal General Thompson's thunder. I'm sure he's going to talk about all the different ways that the division is employed around the globe, because while the division headquarters and some other components of the division are deployed in Afghanistan, I know he also has troopers that are serving in Korea, as well as troopers back here at Fort Hood that continue to train for whatever that next contingency mission might be that the United States Army is called to respond to. So it is probably one of the Army's largest and most robust divisions, especially on the mechanized armored side. And because of their large and diverse makeup, they can really respond to a lot of various missions for the Army and for the nation.
Yeah, they say their website says they have about 26,000 soldiers in the 1st Cavalry Division, and certainly a historic division, goes back to the 1920s and had a big role in World War II in the Pacific, and was well known in the Vietnam era for implementing helicopter tactics, and has been deployed in Bosnia and the first Iraq conflict, and then as you said, in numerous places in recent years in Iraq and Afghanistan, and called back to Afghanistan to support the Afghan Army mission there first week of September. And so we'll hear from General Thompson a little bit about what his soldiers, his NCOs, and his all of the people in his organization are doing to try to lead the fight. One thing I may ask when I was thinking about it is just what success looks like in Afghanistan, short term and long term, in terms of what they're trying to achieve and what they think is possible in the near future. Afghanistan's had such a tough history, first the Russian invasion, and then the Taliban, and then just nearly constant conflict since the 9/11 period. So we're interested to see how he's doing. He had a nice picture on his Facebook page of having a lunch with some of the local Afghan partners. And so maybe you can tell us a little bit about that. It was they were all sitting down on the floor there and having a nice meal and certainly building their relationship. So it'll be interesting to see. And I know General Thompson's interested in Army football. They had a disappointing day Saturday against Air Force, so we'll hear a little bit about that and see how if they're able to follow. I'm sure one way or another he will get the score. If not, they'll figure out how to get the broadcast in. So it'll be interesting to see. Now, you served in Iraq, Ryan. We're talking Ryan Remley, retired Lieutenant Colonel of the United States Army. And you served in Iraq. What's the difference between serving in Iraq and serving in Afghanistan, would you say?
Well, I think there's quite a few differences. And, first and foremost is obviously just the geography. Iraq, obviously, while, it is – I won't say divided country, but you have the different, segments in different areas with a greater concentration of Shia in the south, Sunnis kind of in the central part of the country, and Kurds in the north. You don't have the divides because of like you do in Afghanistan with the mountains and things of that nature. Also, people tend to forget because we do see on TV a lot of the destruction, especially now is Iraqi forces work to retake Mosul. We see a lot of the, devastation to communities and stuff like that. But Iraq actually had a pretty robust infrastructure. Now, while a lot of it had been neglected, there was a system of well-established highways and utilities and things of that nature. And talking with friends and colleagues that have served in Afghanistan, so much of that is missing. But there's also the similarities, the tribal allegiance, a number of different religions and things of that nature. So all these contribute, whether you're in Iraq or Afghanistan, to making the mission very, very complex. And we call upon the men and women that serve over there to wear a number of different hats, from community engagements, like you alluded to the photo, General Thompson, earlier, to the security mission, to helping train and develop, whether it be Iraq or Afghan police and army officials. So, there's a number of challenges, and every day when you're in theater, you wake up and find yourself putting on a different hat depending on what the challenge of the day is.
Yeah, certainly multiple tasks and certainly trying to support and train the Afghan army so that they can defend their country on their own as much as they can. And, one of the things that's interesting in General Thompson's background, he, of course, is a West Point grad, a former Army football player that he spent a lot of time in Germany early in his career. And then one of his roles was serving on the staff of the multinational forces in Baghdad, better part of really more than 2 years, maybe on a couple of breaks because he had three different assignments. And that's got to serve him well now in leading one of America's elite army units deployed overseas. But experience with the multinational forces in Baghdad, the whole idea of trying to work as a group, as an alliance of partner military units. That's got to serve him well. What do you think he learned when he was with the multinational forces?
Well, I think one of the things when he served in that role, of course, a large part of that time was as executive officer to General Ray Odierno, who has since retired, but at the time was leading the charge there in Iraq along with General Petraeus. So he kind of saw firsthand, what it takes at the strategic level to both provide security and defeat our enemies, as well as engaging the population and how we tackle those things. You know, like we talked about, infrastructure, restoring basic utilities, education, and so I'm sure those were the things that he saw day in and day out at a strategic level, and how probably what's most important is how those strategic goals get communicated down at the tactical level to the young NCOs and junior officers that are out there in the neighborhoods, how those get executed. And I think that's probably the thing that he probably took away is how do we communicate strategic goals down to a tactical level? And having had the privilege to serve off and on with General Thompson for about 18 years in my Army career, I can tell you he's probably one of the most effective communicators that I know, and a very hands-on and involved type individual. So I'm sure that, you know, those both defense and state have for success in Afghanistan. He's working very hard personally to get down with his junior leaders and make sure they clearly understand what that mission is and are implementing those goals and making assessments and seeing where we can do better day in and day out.
Well, you introduced me to the general. We actually had some nice talks about Army football when he was down in Texas. I'm actually serving with one of the units in the leading at one of the units of the 1st Cavalry Division. And he came up and spoke at one of your University of Scranton ROTC military balls, where we had a delightful evening and we got a chance to chat that night. And hear his speech to your cadets that evening. We're just waiting for a call from Bagram Air Base in Afghanistan, and we're very pleased to talk with Lieutenant Colonel retired Ryan Remley, a good friend, contributor to Sons of the American Legion Radio. And we're going to just waiting on a call from Major General John C. Thompson III, who is the commanding general of the U.S. 1st Cavalry Division, one of the most historic and most important divisions of the U.S. Army, based at Fort Hood, Texas. But General Thompson leading a unit overseas. They arrived in Afghanistan in early September, and they are serving our country with supporting the Afghan Army there. And we're looking forward to talking with General Thompson. We appreciate the assistance of his staff there in setting up a call. And so they should be calling in. They said they'd try and call in about 15 minutes after the hour, so hopefully in about 2 minutes we'll get the call. And I was at West Point on Friday night, Ryan, and got a chance to hear the debate. Because it was Army Air Force weekend, there were numerous athletic contests and academic events, and one was a debate team match between two cadets from Air Force and two cadets from West Point. And they did a great job on the topic of resolve. Should the Department of Defense spend more resources on offensive cyber capability? And the West Point team argued the affirmative, and the Air Force team argued the what they call the negation. And both were very eloquent, and it was very interesting to listen to the discussion. The judges were two, both deans of the respective academies, and then also retired Army Brigadier General Lori Sutton, who is the Commissioner of Veterans Affairs for New York City, who I'd met a couple of times before, and we did a nice interview over the summer, actually at the Army birthday event in Times Square. So that was a nice evening to start the weekend. Now we're on Blog Talk Radio and Sons of the American Legion Radio. We're based at Squadron 135 in White Plains, New York, part of the 350,000 member Sons of the American Legion organization, and all part of the American Legion family, the world's largest veterans organization. Looking forward to Veterans Day on Friday. Although we always say it's for us, Veterans Day is every day, and we love to talk to people like Ryan Remley, served in the U.S. Army. Ryan, how many years did you serve in the Army?
Ken, I was just shy of 22 years, about 21 years and 11 months before I recently retired here. I started terminal leave back in January and then officially retired from the Army roles in April. But it was truly a privilege to serve that period of time in our great Army. And, you know, people ask me what I remember most, and I think it's the people that you serve with. You know, while you have the opportunity to do a lot of very unique, amazing things, it's just really day in and day out the people that make up this Army. That's what makes it exciting. That makes it, you know,
Absolutely, Ryan. We have a call from we have a call online. I believe from General Thompson. General, are you with us?
Hi, Ken. This is Lieutenant Colonel Sunset Belinsky. I've got General Thompson with me.
Oh, that's great. Thank you very much for your help with us, Colonel.
You bet, sir. Here he is.
Hey, Ken. Greetings from Afghanistan.
General Thompson, great to hear from you. Thank you for all that you're doing over there. And, hey, just want to mention we've got a good mutual friend on the line, Lieutenant Colonel retired Ryan Remley. Wanted to say hello and join the interview today.
Hey,
well,
hey, sir, running in here, I want to wish you and all the troopers of the 1st Cavalry Division well over there. You know how much the community of Central Texas appreciates you guys and everything that you do. And I couldn't miss this opportunity when Ken reached out to me and asked me if I wanted to join the broadcast today.
That's great hearing from you, Ryan, and thank you for all you've done, especially with Veterans Day coming up. You've done a lot of great things with me over the years, so good to hear you.
Thank you.
Well, General, great to hear from you. We've been you've been contributing to our shows for a number of years. You're a graduate of West Point, class of 1986, an Army Ranger, and now you were the commandant at West Point a couple of years ago and now serve as commanding general of the U.S. 1st Cavalry Division. And we were mentioning as we were chatting, waiting for your call, that you arrived in Afghanistan with your team in September. What's been the experience like since you've been over there now a couple of months?
It's a great experience. It's been about 2 years since I've been over here last, and just seeing the progress that is being made over here. It's a tough fight, no doubt about it, but watching the Afghan National Security Defense Forces grow and mature, and you know, it's uplifting, and it's good to see a lot of old friends coming back here.
Absolutely, absolutely. We saw on your Facebook page, we saw you had a lunch recently with some of the local leaders. Looked like a very a good bonding session with them. What is it like for you to go out and work on building good working relationships with the local community leaders in Afghanistan?
That's an important part of our day-to-day job. And here at Bagram Airfield, where we're headquartered, we work a lot with the local community to ensure security and stability, not just for the base, but for the local population. And those particular pictures you saw was one of the Afghan National Army battalions that we're partnered with. It's the 3rd Battalion of the 3rd Brigade of the 201st. And Lieutenant Colonel Majid, he's an Afghan patriot, a great friend of the United States and the coalition, and it was just good to go out and spend some time with him. And, you know, we mentor him a little bit, and we learn a lot from him as well.
Absolutely. Now, I'm sure you brought a great team with you between your fellow officers, NCOs, and enlisted soldiers. Maybe describe some of the great soldiers that you have with you serving in Afghanistan from the 1st Cavalry Division.
We've got about half of the division staff here, not quite 200 individuals, and we form the basis of the United States Forces Afghanistan staff. We also have two of our brigades here, the 3rd Cavalry Regiment out of Fort Hood. They got here a little bit before we did in June, and they're out east doing the train, advise, assist mission for two of the Afghan Army Corps, the 201st Corps in Nangarhar Province and the 203rd Corps down in in the Gardez, Gosney area. And we also have our sustainment brigade from Fort Hood that's here, and they're performing the sustainment and support functions across the entire Afghan theater. So two of our seven brigades from Fort Hood are over here with us.
Well, that's a big team. Now, when you took command of the 1st Cavalry Division, I had to ask someone, I think I asked Ryan, what the difference between a cavalry division is and a standard infantry division. And I know you're in one of the most historic units in the U.S. Army, going back to proud service in the Pacific in World War II and in Vietnam and many deployments since. And maybe just describe some of the what makes your 1st Cavalry Division a very unique military unit.
The 1st Cavalry Division was founded in 1921 out at Fort Bliss, Texas, and it was horse cavalry for the first years of its existence. And so that's where we get our cavalry name from. But we still have a cavalry mindset that is alive and well. And, you know, you see us wearing cavalry-type hats. We still have a horse detachment, and it's a big part of our traditions. But by and large, we are now mounted on armored vehicles, not horses, although we still have 31 horses back at Fort Hood for ceremonial purposes. But what I would tell you about the 1st Cavalry Division, Ken, is we are the largest, most powerful and lethal armored division in the world. We have more tanks and more Bradley fighting vehicles than any other division in the world.
Well, that's something. Now, we have Lieutenant Colonel retired Ryan Remley on the line. And, Ryan, do you have a question for General Thompson?
Sir, if you could, just one thing I think for listeners to understand. You talked about the fact you have parts of your staff there in two brigades. But if they could just understand in today's environment with Mission Command how complex it is for a division commander. You have troops, I know, in Korea as well as troops back here at Fort Hood training for whatever that next mission may be for the 1st Cavalry Division. Can you just talk about the challenges of commanding over 26,000 men and women spread across the globe?
Sure. That was a good description by you, Ryan. But, you know, on one hand, you look at challenges and that's associated with the complex and dangerous and uncertain world we live in today, but at the same time, it's opportunities. And we do have soldiers committed all over the globe, currently on 5 continents of the 7 across the world. And we have part of our staff back home. We have part of our staff in Qatar. We also have part of our staff here in Afghanistan at another location, not to mention everybody that's back at Fort Hood. And we are managing a lot of moving pieces, but they're all important missions, and we do what our nation expects us to do to keep the gates of freedom open.
And talking with General Thompson, the commander of the U.S. Army 1st Cavalry Division, and, you know, today my impression of the Army is a mixture of a lot of young soldiers recently enlisted into the Army, very young, and then because of the conflicts that have been going on since 9/11, a lot of veterans who are NCOs and then also people like yourself that have served in so many different places. Maybe just describe the mixture of soldiers, you know, age-wise and experience-wise that you have with you in Afghanistan at the 1st Cavalry Division.
Sure, Ken. You know, the troopers in the 1st Cavalry Division across our entire Army and our military, you know, first off, we need to thank them. They represent less than 0.5% of the American population. Every one of them is a volunteer that has willingly raised his or her hand to support and defend the Constitution of the United States. And they are, by and large, young. And that's good because it keeps me young. I love being around people like that. They've signed up to be a part of something larger than themselves. In terms of being over here in combat, a lot of our younger troopers, this is their first deployment, and they want to be here. They see that they're making a positive difference every day. And then you have other folks that are on their 4th, 5th, even 6th deployment, and that's the kind of experience you need. But, you know, it's all about training your subordinates to take your job. You know, one of my most important roles is leader development, and it's working myself out of a job. It's training my deputies to be able to take my job, and that cascades all the way down to the lowest level. And by and large, like I said, we have a very young formation. It's amazing that you have soldiers over here. You know, they turn 21 on their deployment, and of course they can't have a beer over here, not if they're of age. It's because they're serving their country over here, and we don't let anybody drink in a combat zone. But, you know, never ceases to amaze me that you see 18, 19, 20-year-olds over here that have made such a commitment to our country.
Absolutely, and one of the things we want to do is find different ways we at home can support you and all of your soldiers and over there. One of our friends with the Girl Scouts, Allison Bergman, had sent over 500,000 boxes of Girl Scout cookies to deployed military and to also local veterans, and we're working on getting some Girl Scout cookies out to your team very soon. How can people at home show support for what you folks are doing? You know, we've got the holidays coming up. What are some ways we can show support to you and your team?
The small packages and the notes, and we get letters from, you know, schools. They adopt the formation. Those are all great. And, you know, the soldiers over here, they know that they are remembered. They are not forgotten, and people appreciate what they do. And, you know, as a soldier walks through an airport or somewhere in a uniform, a lot of folks go up and say, thank you for your service. That's important. But, you know, I'd say stop and ask them, hey, what's it like serving? Why do you serve? And they'd like to engage in those conversations, too. The support is absolutely tremendous. You know, we don't want to forget. We have soldiers in harm's way all over the globe, not just in Afghanistan. You know, and unfortunately, we've lost a few soldiers here in Afghanistan over the past month. Those are tough. It's tough on the formation, and it's tough on the teammates. It's especially tough on the loved ones and families at home. So that's another way to help. Remember those families back home, because they're making a large sacrifice themselves.
Absolutely. Our thoughts and prayers are with those families that have lost a loved one in service. And I guess, Ryan, do you have a question? I know the general has to leave in a few minutes.
No more questions. I just wanted to tell General Thompson again how much, you know, I appreciate everything he's done for me during my military career. And I know he talked about leader development, and I don't know if there's anybody in the United States Army today better at leader development than General Thompson. He truly cares about everybody in his formation. From the lowest private to his deputy. And just want to wish him and all the troopers of the 1st Cavalry Division a happy Veterans Day as it's fast approaching here.
That's right. We'll be in New York City on Friday for a big Veterans Day parade. And General Thompson, we mentioned you're a former Army football player, and all of the players, when they run out onto the field of Mikey Stadium's touch the famous plaque about when you have a tough mission, you find an Army football player to do that. Got to let you offer a few thoughts on Army football so far. It's been off to a great start. We had a little bit of a difficult day against Air Force Saturday.
Yeah, I just sent Coach Monk in a note yesterday. You know, last weekend didn't turn out the way we wanted, but I let him know that I'm very proud of the team. 5-4, they're playing very tough. I've seen a tremendous amount of improvement over the past few years. And this weekend coming up against Notre Dame down in San Antonio, the team's actually going to be wearing the 1st Cavalry Division patch on the back of their helmet. And so we're greatly honored by that. And we're going to wake up here at probably already be awake, but at 1 o'clock in the morning is when kickoff is here in Afghanistan. And we've got a watch party, and we're all going to get together and watch that game and watch them carry the 1st Cavalry Division flag onto the field before the game. And that was a flag that has been flying over the headquarters here in Afghanistan that we mailed to them.
Well, I talked to Coach Munkin after the game, and he asked me to send his best wishes to you and all that serve with you in Afghanistan. And, General, I know you got a busy day. Just what's the weather like that? What's the day like there for you?
They're having some very beautiful fall weather, highs or during the day in the high 60s, low 70s. Haven't seen a cloud in I don't know how long, probably weeks as opposed to days. It's rained once in the 2.5 months that we've been here. It was initially pretty warm, but we're getting some cool mornings now in the high 30s, low 40s, and just absolutely spectacular days. Of course, we're here in the part of Afghanistan we're in. We're up in the mountains, very rugged terrain, but very, very beautiful. So the other thing I can tell you, though, Ken, is there's a bunch of other former football players over here. Some I've run into. You recognize some of the names. Pat Neely,
who's that?
Running back. Pat Neely's over here with the 3rd Cavalry Regiment. Just ran into Captain Andrew Rodriguez a few weeks ago. He was over here. And you got some older folks like myself, Colonel John Parag, offensive lineman in the early 90s. He's over here. And then Major General Paul Ostrowski. He was a running back in the 80s, back when I played. He's over here. So I'm sure there's a few others running around here.
Certainly, Pat Mealy is a good friend of ours, and Andrew Rodriguez had such a good senior year and received the National Campbell Trophy Award from the National Football Foundation, and he overcame so much in terms of injury and to play while being an extraordinary student at West Point. And, I just tell you about, we did an interview this week with one of the seniors on the team, kind of a backup player. You may remember Elijah St. Hilaire, and one of those players who's worked his way up from the scout team to playing on special teams, and he's a backup tailback or halfback on the team. And we talked to him. He had so much enthusiasm for being at the academy, having a chance to play football, and then next year in June late May, actually commissioning into the U.S. Army. And we enjoy meeting the players, and we see that all the time, the enthusiasm they have for all the different duties and that they have at West Point and their future in the Army. And I'm sure you're all very proud of them.
Yeah, and Elijah's one of those individuals. I'd like to get him as a lieutenant in the 1st Cavalry Division and join some other players that are back at Fort Hood, guys like Larry Dixon, Angel Santiago, Jeff Bacon. Those guys are all 1st Cav troopers now. We're back at Fort Hood. One of the most gratifying things I see over here in Afghanistan, I get out on the battlefield and circulate as much as possible, but I run into lieutenants every day, and they were cadets when I was the commandant, and you see them over here leading their soldiers in combat and doing it very, very well, exceptionally well. It goes back to that mission statement that we have at West Point, and West Point's doing it right. And like I said, I run into them every day. They come up to me and like, "Hey, sir, you remember me? I was a cadet when you were the comm." And it's very uplifting and inspiring.
Well, General John C. Thompson, commander of the U.S. 1st Cavalry Division, in serving today and serving our country in Bagram, Afghanistan. Do you have a final thought for folks back home who appreciate your efforts so much?
I sure do, Ken, and I'd like to thank you, Ryan Rimley there, and every other veteran, everybody who's ever put on a uniform to defend the Constitution of the United States. We've got Veterans Day coming up, and we're going to recognize it here, and we'll be thinking of our veterans all over the world on this special day coming up. The gates of freedom remain open because of our veterans.
Absolutely, and John, we just want to thank you for taking time out of your schedule to talk with us. Maybe we can do it again down the road, and best wishes on Veterans Day to you and all you serve with, and we'll be thinking about you, and hopefully we can chat again down the road. So best wishes, our prayers, and you have a great day over there today.
Okay, go Army and beat Notre Dame.
Okay. Thank you, sir. And that was General John C. Thompson III calling in from Bagram Air Force Base in Afghanistan. And I wanted just to make sure I thanked his public affairs officer, Colonel Sunset Belinsky, for her assistance in setting up today's call. We certainly appreciate that, and supported everyone at the U.S. Army. So Ryan Remley, we appreciate your joining the call today. You have served with General Thompson for much of your career, and what did you think of the comments from General Thompson today?
I thought they were spot on and exactly what I thought General Thompson would share with us. As I said, he has been, you know, more than just a commander or supervisor to me. You know, he's been a good friend and mentor. He's been very, very kind to Tammy and I over our time in the military. And, you know, I can't think of anyone better to lead the 1st Cavalry Division. I mean, you alluded to all the assignments that he's held leading up to this this prestigious command. And, you know, I know his team will do great things over there and contribute significantly to the ongoing mission to bring security and stability to the country of Afghanistan.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, I want to thank you. You're going to be representing Sons of America Legion Radio at that little football game on Saturday at the Alamo Dome as Army West Point will play a historic rival of its own in Notre Dame, a rivalry that goes back to some of the biggest days in college football history played at Yankee Stadium in New York in the 1940s. And I told the story the other day in our post game that my uncle, Warren Kratzer, who had joined the Army with my dad in the New York National Guard in the late 1930s, he had served, they both commissioned from Fort Sill, Oklahoma in 1942, and my dad went to the 91st Infantry, which went into Italy, and my uncle Warren went into the Battle of the Bulge as an officer and helped lead the fight there. And, in fact, he said one day General Patton came into his camp and gave a talk that was memorable 5 decades later. But when he came back after the end of the war, he came back and got a chance to go to the Army-Notre Dame game at 1945 at Yankee Stadium. And I think about what could it be like for an Army officer to come back from victory in Europe and be there at Yankee Stadium, one of the most places in America, for a football game between Army and Notre Dame. It must have been quite an occasion, and I know you'll have quite a time down there at the Army-Notre Dame game on Saturday, Ryan.
Yeah, hey, Ken, once again, I'm very, very appreciative of the opportunity you and your team there at Sons of American Legion Radio are affording me. It's a real honor to get to go down there and cover, like you say, one of the most historic rivalries in college football, and one that especially in the 1940s and even into 1950 meant so much to both those institutions and so much to the nation. And that's quite a story your uncle has to share there. I can't imagine what that'd be like at that time to come back and then be able to witness such a athletic contest and such a great venue. I mean, old Yankee Stadium and everything that took place in that great stadium.
Yeah, no, it was something in the era when Army won 3 national championships in a row, and 45 was the year that Notre Dame started to get its players back, so they were getting close to full strength, and this must have been a neat day. And I'm sure it's great to hear the 1st Cavalry Division will be honored at the game on Saturday with the patch, and they'll run the flag out of the division when the team runs out on the field. And I'm sure I wouldn't be surprised if General Thompson's got a spirit video that he has sent in. And that'll be another special touch. I'm sure there'll be quite a few soldiers there, and so take lots of pictures for us, and hopefully you can hear some of the post game comments. Hopefully we get a good Army day. They need a win there now to have a chance to be bowl eligible. So it's a lot on the line for them. If they win this game in Morgan State, they would be bowl eligible. But seeing Notre Dame upset by service academies 2 weeks in a row is a tall order. But you'll have a great time there. We appreciate your covering the game for us.
Well, thanks, Ken. I look forward to it. Absolutely, I'll take plenty of photos and look forward to getting that video posted out there on social media of both pregame, postgame, and, of course, in-game events. And, again, I can't thank you and your team there enough for affording me this opportunity. And, I'm sure playing in San Antonio with the, you know, Fort Hood just a couple hours up the road, and all the military assigned to the San Antonio Military District down there. There'll be a great crowd on hand supporting Army West Point football there on Saturday, and just look forward to that that charged atmosphere.
Absolutely, and thank you again for getting up a little early today with the time change spanning this call spanned Central Texas to the mountains of Afghanistan, which is pretty extraordinary. And so we thank you. I just want to again thank all our friends in the U.S. Army, especially Colonel Sunset Belinsky in Afghanistan, the PAO to 1st Cavalry Division there, and all our friends in the U.S. Army Public Relations, Public Affairs team. And we'll see many of the folks down at the Veterans Day Parade in New York City on Friday. And then we'll be back at West Point for the Morgan State game in a week from Saturday. So, Ryan, you have a good day. Thank you so much for taking time to join us, and appreciate your support. And to you, as you said, a 22-year veteran in the U.S. Army, have a great Veterans Day on Friday.
All right. Hey, appreciate it, Ken. Take care and look forward to talking to you again real soon.
Very good. Appreciate it. Ryan Remley, retired Lieutenant Colonel, United States Army, former professor of military science at the University of Scranton, and also we met when he served as a instructor at the Providence College ROTC program. So that wraps up our show today, our special edition. We so much appreciate the commanding general of the 1st Cavalry Division, John C. Thompson III, for joining us from Bagram Air Base in Afghanistan. And we want to also say thank you to all our folks at in our post in White Plains, New York, Post 135, White Plains, our squadron commander, Pete DeMarco, all the folks in the New York State organization, especially our friend Bob Avery, our state adjutant, and all the folks at the American Legion out in Indianapolis at the headquarters, Jeff Stouffer, the director of communications there, and Henry Howard, Steve Brooks, and everyone who works at the HQ for the American Legion in Indianapolis. So we'll be back soon with more events from Sons of American Legion Radio. You can follow us on Twitter at the handle at Sons Legion Radio, and also on two pages on Facebook, the West Point Football Report and Sons of the American Legion Radio. And then also we contribute to the State of New York Sons of the American Legion Radio Facebook page. And we're very often on rallypoint.com. Plains, New York, for Sons of the American Legion Radio. Have a great day. This is Ken Kreitzer.